Lots of your competitors are going to this solution business model. Why should it work at Integram? Because, you know, there's obviously been several approaches tried, so I'm curious to see why you think this is the right approach as opposed to taking more of a product-centric approach. What do you see out there in the customer base that you think that this is a better business model to use?
First, let's look at the history. When you mentioned you met me in Singapore, and I mentioned in my keynote on Wednesday, we're of the opinion the solutions paradigm started 6, 7, 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we're of the opinion that we started it when we first started introducing the templates for utilities and for communications and doing rapid implementations. I think some of the first ones we did were in the Asia-Pacific region when we were out there. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Huntsville was doing the same thing back in the U.S. and North America. And when I came back, we even got more serious about it. I think there are several reasons that it's worked. It's been very popular for us. Some of the examples I gave is, for one, it gives you a rapid implementation of the technology. Last year we talked about how we had implemented Toronto Hydro in 7 months and Awaia Electric in 7 months. And then this year we were able to talk about implementing Interroute, which is a very complex communication solution, in 6 months, and then Madison Gas and Electric in 5 months. So rapid implementation is one. If you just have a product, if you just have a toolkit, then you've got to spend a lot of time customizing, building that product from scratch. And I don't think that's very acceptable within the information technology industry as it was many years ago. I think the industry expects solutions. They expect off-the-shelf solutions that can be implemented rapidly, and we're just meeting the demand of the industry in doing this.
So what specifically do you think is driving that? I mean, will you not go into any customers without them having a detailed plan? Or are you going to do this for them, or a systems integrator is going to do this? How are you working that regard? Is it more of a direct sell, or are you going to employ somebody like Lockheed Martin or some of the big systems integrators to do these implementations?
I think it's all of the above. If you internationally around the world, we have customers that sometimes the templates don't work for them, and sometimes they prefer to have the metadata, to have the solution highly customized for them to meet their requirements. So that's one case. Then there are others that would take a solution and implement it off the shelf and do it in 5 to 6 months. Maximilian Weber in Germany said they just implemented a template in 10 days, which is, you know, phenomenal. That's really what they were able to do and get the customer in production. Around the world, we implement ourselves, or we have partners implement. We work with large system integration partners in different places of the world, so we work just about any way you can imagine. In fact, we've had some where the customers even participate in the implementation themselves, so it would be a joint approach. We provide the template, we provide the solution, the metadata, the industry wear, and then they do a lot of the implementation themselves.
It sounds similar to ESRI's attempt to publish these data models. Are you equating a template with a data model? How do you? What do you mean by a template?
Well, I think a template is much more than a data model. It contains the data model for storing your data. But I think if you look at the solution, that's what it is. It's a solution. There are tools to create the data, to draw the maps, to have the user create a design, to automate that design process, to analyze the new design. And on the communication side, to do a loop makeup, to do a ripple, to do cable balancing, those types of things that automate the engineering process. You know, that's really what you need to do. If you look at it on the in-service side, it's way beyond the data model in that it's an outage management solution, or it is a dispatching solution that the utility company would use to dispatch the trucks. On the government and transportation side, you know, we have for government, we would have the water and the sewer model, but then there would be a lot of tools there. either through an interface to analyze the water network, to optimize that network, and also to automate the design process. So it goes well beyond the data model. It's really the applications and the solutions that automate traditionally manual processes. And I don't know if you saw my presentation Wednesday morning in the plenary session.
Okay.
Well, I talked about return on investment. And, you know, if you start out with an automated mapping system, which is where geospatial solutions first started, the numbers that we see in some studies are that you get a one-to-one return on that investment. Every dollar you put in it, you get a dollar back. And you read other studies, and it says that if you automate the design process or the network analysis process, then you get a two-to-one return on investment. Every dollar you spend, you get $2 back. If you make that geospatial model, the network, everything that's associated with it, the land base, the facilities, if you make that available to the enterprise and in a government situation to the public, then you can expect maybe a 4 to 5 to 1 return on the investment. But if you use it for enterprise operations, network operations, outage management, mobile workforce management, field operations, we're of the opinion the benefits curve goes exponential. I don't think the industry really knows the benefits that are there, but I have heard so many great presentations this week of the benefits that people are getting from what we call geospatial resource management, and that's the end-to-end solution. And that's what the templates are, and that's what the solutions are, is to depart from the mapping process and depart from the GIS process and really have a differentiator in going up that exponential curve and providing a really strong return on investment by providing these kind of high-value solutions.
Much of this sounds very similar to what way back when in the early 90s there was a model called the Integrated City.
Yeah.
Now maybe that it didn't work way back when, but maybe these enterprise, maybe the enterprise wasn't ready to hear that message right now. Is it resonating more now, or is it still one of these cases where you're going into and having to do point solutions and maybe with the promise that eventually there's integration and interoperability between these point solutions?
No, I think now with the open technology, you know, particularly with Intergraph storing all of the geospatial data in the relational database and being truly open, we've taken geospatial technology, we've moved it into the IT community. It's a part of the same database as the customer information system or as the inventory system, so it's all right there and it's truly integrated. I saw the NVAM in Germany, their runtime SAP interface, where you make a change in G technology and you look in SAP, it's there instantaneously. You change in SAP instantaneously back in the geospatial solution because it's hitting the same database. It's there. You're just going to the database, and your application interface is either the geospatial solution or it's the SAP solution. So I think the technology is there. But I think the big breakthrough from Intergraph's standpoint is the truly open technology. Everything is in the relational database. No middleware, no proprietary programming to get to that data, no blobs in the database, only an SQL statement. And I think that's what's allowed it to go into the mainstream information technology.
Now, there's a major difference in opinion, obviously, between the ESRI message and your message. Actually, your message is on message with Oracle's message these days because of what they're trying to do with their system. Is it still tough to sell up against an SDE versus an Oracle? Are you beginning to hear anything that would say to you that Intergraph's message is getting through? I'll leave it at that.
Definitely. Particularly when you deal with the information technology departments. And they're the ones that have to maintain that terabyte database. They're the ones that have to hire the people, that have to train the people. And the beauty of it is they can use the same DBAs that's maintaining the terabyte database on the SAP or the PeopleSoft side. And they love it. They don't have to go out and find a specialist that knows how to write in a proprietary programming language or something. They can write in SQL, they can use VB or whatever it is. That story resonates very well with the IT departments of the world. Everywhere I go, they love to hear.
I like to hear that, because that's a message I'm trying to bring to my readers as well, not just as an Intergraph story, but a story in general IT setting with regard to geospatial technology. I ask you that question because I also listen to the quarterly financial calls, and what I hear, and I ask this of Preet as well, is that Intergraph is flat to only modest growth, and it gives me the sense that message isn't getting through, that there's still this modicum of growth potential in Intergraph, and in fact, if you look at the backlog of systems in IMGS, it's still almost flatline growth. So, what do you see now in your position that you're going to try to overcome to get, the 5 to 10% growth? I mean, that would be if I was a stockholder, if I was a customer, and I heard that message wasn't getting through, even though the stock is doing nicely, I still would be concerned. I still would.
Okay.
Check me a little bit.
Well, that's one of the things Halsey Wise talked about Wednesday morning when he spoke during the keynote session is a part of our True Blue campaign that's underway. As he told the customers, we have the 10-10-2005 program underway. That is, we grow revenue by 10%. We end up with a 10% operating margin by the end of 2005. So we have a very aggressive plan and a very aggressive target to get that growth, and it's just like you say, the stockholders want to see that. I think the industry sees that. I think there are several factors that we can look at. If you look back over the last 2 or 3 years, the economy hasn't been that good in our market. But we're starting to see an upswing now, and if things continue to get better, then that's going to help the business. But then again, one of the earlier questions that you ask is, why did you consolidate government, transportation, utilities, and communications into solutions? Is because the solution strategy is working very well in utilities and communications, so we've pulled that all into a single organization for government and transportation, and now it's up to our group to work with the regions of the world to bring out more solutions and to take everybody up that exponential benefit curve. And I think that when you have that and you show the benefits and you show the return on investment and you have good solutions that can be implemented quickly, then I think that growth will come, along with an improving economy.
The areas that you're responsible for in Intergraph's traditional markets, transportation, utilities, government, those are also traditional markets for the competition. There would be some, and I've listened and I talk to analysts all the time, that would say that if Intergraph continues to focus only on the traditional markets, that's a negative growth proposition. There's only so many times you can go back to the well and hope that there's more than 5% growth. Are there any new markets, any emerging markets that you would look at that would say that there's additional opportunity there? Or do you think that that's not a true statement and that you'd rather focus on the traditional markets?
Well, that's my charter right now, is to focus on government, transportation, utilities, communications. Number one, I think from a geographical standpoint, there are still some good markets out there. There are developing countries around the world. There are some good opportunities that we will focus on, and we'll help our international regions and international subsidiaries work within those markets. We have international responsibility, so we'll focus on the areas where we see new business, and we'll target those, and we'll be successful there. I think from a solution standpoint, maybe even within government and transportation and utilities and communications, if we just focus on mapping, on GIS, and doing just that, then not only will we not grow, we would probably wither on the vine if that's all we did. It's a saturated market in a lot of areas. So I think we have to be creative. My charter is to innovate new solutions. And I think some of our innovation is shown through the mobile workforce management solutions that we have, through the outage management solutions. And I think that as we create and innovate the new solutions, then we create a new market. And I think wireless mobile applications are going to be a good opportunity for everybody. Of course, I think that if you interviewed anybody else in the industry today, they'd tell you the same thing. We're sure looking at the wireless and the mobile,
sure.
and that's a new market But again, you go back to our traditional markets, that's where we would focus, would be government, transportation, yeah, utilities, and communications. But I think that, again, you innovate new solutions, and you just keep going up the benefit curve.